Hello and welcome to yet another edition of the Tech Teachers, another week, another show. We're doing good. This is show 62. I'm Ray, a physics teacher.
And I'm Holly, and I teach Spanish.
Are you all right?
Yeah, something struck me as funny. I won't share.
Okay.
Anyhow, yes, you...
Check out our... I don't know. What are we doing? Oh, my gosh.
Start over.
No, let's just keep going. It'll be all right. This is a show about technology and education, and where they overlap as much as possible.
And anything we talk about in the show, you can find at thetechteachers.blogspot.com, and also email us at rayandholly@gmail.com. Holly is spelled H-O-L-L-Y-E. I also want to say on our site, we have a button where you can dig our show from dig.com.
And we recently solved the mystery of why our numbers didn't match up with the people total who have dug it. And here's what happens. After 2 weeks, if you haven't dug anything on the site, they take away your dig of our show.
So if your account's inactive
for
2 weeks, it's not just our show,
yes,
but anything.
Anything. Right? They take away your digs from the site because they want only active users to be causing things to go up and down, which makes sense.
Yeah.
Which makes sense, and I think that's a good idea. Help fight the whole spammers and all that. So if you have dug our show in the past and haven't been to Dig in a while, just maybe if you wouldn't mind, if you enjoy our show and want to support it in this fashion, just after you watch a show, click that dig button and dig one of our episodes or anything else on the site, and that'll count as staying active.
Right. Absolutely.
Right.
We'd appreciate that.
Yes.
It's kind of fun to move up on the list.
Yes, so, we're doing well. I think we're up over 20, and if we can get everybody that's dug it, I think to go back and dig something on the site again, one of our episodes, whatever, I think we have enough to get on the front page.
Well, Dig's a site to check out anyways.
Yes,
and
it's we've talked about
so,
it all the time.
Definitely.
So, and now it's also a very good place to get podcasting categories. I actually, iTunes is just a mess now when you're trying to find, it's not a good directory at all.
To find a podcast?
Yes. Mm-hmm. I mean, everything is there, but the featured content and the lists and stuff, it's just all kind of slow. I actually now go to Dig when I want to find new podcasts.
You know, and it's weird.
iTunes missed the boat.
I haven't searched that either for a
long time. Yeah.
I just word of mouth.
It was really good in the beginning, and now it's just got too much on it, and it's not very, it could be quicker. The whole iTunes store needs to be faster when it comes to looking around the podcast.
Definitely. I agree.
But we should also say we're big fans of Dig, so we're probably a little biased on that. We both really love Dig.
Right.
There's probably other great directories out there that are just as slick and smooth, but I haven't seen any in a while. So if you know of some, actually, and you're listening, feel free to email us, and we'll check out some of the other directories. Just I hope they're quick and they're pretty. That's what, if you want a directory, it better be two things. It better be very quick and functional, and it better be pleasing to the eye.
Right.
So not too busy or 1990s looking.
Right. It has to work.
It has to work. Yep.
Yeah. All right. For today, show number 62, following our regular technology and education sections, we are going to have a guest. We talked to Fred.
Fred Hasse, a former coworker of mine. And we'll be having an interview with him on a wide range of technology topics, and he brings a slightly different perspective as he is very new to computers at home.
Right.
So
that'll be following the education section.
And he's older than us. Did we mention this last week?
I think so, yeah.
Okay. Over 50 is what
we
I think
are
we
in
said,
our
right?
mid-20s.
Yes, over 50.
So, yes, he's
so
over
you'll be
50,
hearing
yes.
You'll be hearing from Fred.
Right.
So at the after our education section.
Yes.
So today in tech, we have a couple links, a download for the Mac users. We have some products we'd like to mention, and then a Firefox extension.
Right.
We have a whole bunch of those, but only one today. Mm-hmm. And then in education, we have some products, and that's all I see. Oh, and we want to discuss the need for tablet PCs in the classroom, yes or no. So we'll talk about that.
Oh, really?
Yes. I mentioned this earlier. You weren't listening, apparently.
Well, I was doing something else.
Well, that'll fill out the education section. So let's go ahead and jump right into the technology.
I think Gmail has a new thing out.
Yes. If you go to Gmail right now, of course, no one will be able to go to Gmail because this day will be over. It is Sunday, April 1st. and it'll say Gmail paper, right? And you can
they're saying it's a new service.
It's a new service, and it's the thing that pops up when you go to Gmail, and it says they will send you any one of your Gmails in paper form, yada yada.
Your
it'll be
emails,
supported
yeah.
by advertisement. And then you go to the second page and they show people's boxes with Gmail letters in it from them and all that good stuff. And I got you to buy this.
Well, yeah.
I was like, hey, Holly, come check this out. Look what Gmail's
okay, today
doing.
Today is April 1st, yes. And it's April Fool's Day. So apparently Google was, you know, yes. Gmail was doing...
I think they've done something similar to this in the past. Yes. It took me about 2 seconds to remember what the date was, and I was like, oh, this isn't for real. I'm like, this
well,
doesn't make any sense.
My
so then
only...
I called you over, and I was like, look. You're like, why would you want that?
Yeah, my only response was, why in the world would they do this? And I was just so confused as to why
gotta
they would want
Google.
To do
Gotta love Google. Gotta love Google. The
so,
April
okay.
Fool's
so
prank.
Technically, you and Google got me today.
Yes. With the help of Google,
yes.
I got you.
Very good.
But anyway, so I'm sure there'll be pictures up of that. I think they've done something the last couple of years as well. Or maybe they just keep recycling the Gmail paper thing, but I doubt it. All right. Our download of the night. We forgot to mention all the basketball stuff.
Okay, like stuff that we've been doing.
Yes, a little bit of an update. We saw the Hornets and the Rockets.
Yeah. Last time we recorded our podcast, we were in a car
parking garage.
Yeah. Yes. Outside of getting ready to go see the Hornets
at the Ford Center in
Rockets
Oklahoma City.
Game. Yes, and it was so much fun.
I loved it. The Hornets won, and I rooted for the Hornets.
I was rooting for the Rockets.
So my team won.
Popular because it was the home team that I was rooting against.
And we were definitely in the nosebleeds, but it was fun. It was fun.
It was a lot of fun.
Anyway, so we've been doing an NBA game. Today, we just played basketball outside, one-on-one.
Mm-hmm.
We watched the Final Four, which was a lot of fun yesterday. And then, of course, we continue to play 2K7, which listeners are probably sick of hearing about, which is the NBA 360
game. We love basketball.
Yes, we got basketball going everywhere.
NBA,
yeah.
College, in person. Yep.
And the National Championship game's tomorrow night. I've picked Florida. You have picked Ohio State.
Yes.
We repicked on the Final Four, and we both picked the final correctly.
Right.
And then we just disagree
on
the winner.
I won the bracket originally.
Yes. Well, we had a messed up scoring system.
Okay, anyway.
I didn't know what I was doing. It was the first time I ran a bracket, and I didn't do the correct scoring. It was over after the second round. But anyway.
Yeah.
But your team was ousted, I would like to add. KU did not make it. I picked Florida to win it all from the beginning. I've been saying Florida since beginning or halfway through the season, and then even when they were struggling, I kept saying Florida, they'll turn it on. We'll see.
I gotta say,
they looked good last night.
I'm from Kansas City, and so KU
is a you're drinking the KU Kool-Aid.
It's a local favorite. What are you talking about? So I had to go with them, even though I kind of knew that maybe they wouldn't make it. I wanted
Kool-Aid.
Them to.
That's all I gotta say there. There was no doubt in my mind they weren't winning the national championship.
Well, the rest of my bracket was really clean. Okay.
All right. So now back to the technology here.
The
download of the night for Mac users is Quicksilver. I don't think we've talked about this before. I have just barely scratched the surface of Quicksilver, but I do like what I've been using it for. The main thing I do it for is so I can keep my hands on the keyboard so that I can launch anything without having to move my mouse.
Right.
So I've set a shortcut for it. I hit Apple S, Quicksilver pops up, and I can, much like the, Apple spacebar for the search, you can search for whatever you want, like, let's say, text edit. You type in T-E-X, up it pops, and you can keep your hands on the keyboard. You don't have to use your mouse. And I can go ahead and select and, open a new thing. Or if I search for you, I can send you an email, et cetera, all without having to go into, the Finder or down to my, the dock. It makes it so that you can just type and get to everything. And then also I've assigned a lot of shortcuts. So, for instance, when I hit Apple O, up pops my calendar no matter what I have open.
You've demoed this for me, and it seems like a great function. Is there anything like that on a PC?
Yes, there is, and I have no idea what they're called.
Okay.
What good ones are. We should probably take, if you've got a good one, just put a comment up on the blog. I never got into one on the PC, and I think the reason why is that on Mac, it seems like it's more of a community, and since there's less people using it, they're kind of the one really good one rises to the top, and everybody knows about it and tells everybody about it. Whereas on PC, there's always a 10 choices for any different thing.
Good point, yeah.
So there's not the word of mouth get rolling on just one.
Right.
So there's probably something that does exactly the same things on PC. I just never was exposed to it because it doesn't have the same traction. It's not like there's more competition, so you don't keep seeing the same thing over and over again, right. And then get curious and be like, what's this Quicksilver thing I keep hearing about?
Well, this is something I would use day in and day out. I mean, there's a lot of things I download with a little bit, and then I forget about it after a couple of weeks and don't use it. But that is something I would use.
But shortcuts for your main programs, no matter what you're in, is really good. Really good. And you can assign any keys you want to open or do whatever you want. You can have it launch macros. You can have it launch programs. You can have it open new files. Very powerful, and I've just barely scratched the surface. I'm basically just using it for shortcuts and as a better search than what is built in.
So we'll put a link up for you to get to that download of the
night. Which, if you're a new Mac user, I should say, the Apple Space with the search with Spotlight, if you just type in the program, the name of the program you want to launch, that is so much faster than going into the Finder for stuff that's not in your dock.
Yeah.
Because I'm still doing that. Like, every time I go to my, what's it called, the Duck program, I can't remember the name of it now. Not Happy Duck. What is it called? Ducky? I don't remember. But the FTP program. When I keep launching the FTP program, it takes me forever to go in, whereas if I could just remember the name of it right now, which I don't.
Something about a duck?
Yeah. Hold on a minute.
A duck.
Now okay. I do have to go to the Finder because now it's going to drive me crazy.
All right. Well, yeah.
You can talk.
This is way off topic, though.
Cyber Duck. CyberDuck, my FTP thing, if I type in cyber, that's much quicker going down to opening that, even with the Spotlight.
But you've just proved the point. You have to remember the name of the program.
Yes. But most programs that you use, like Vodcaster or Skype, or something like that, if it's not down on my dock, most things I can remember the name of. Although when I typed in duck, it did pop up, I'd like to point out.
Okay.
See, there's duck. It just said duck.bmp. It's the images.
But anyway.
Yeah. There's the R Willard FTP. That would probably take me right to it. Let's see. Yeah, well, it'll be loading here in a minute. But anyway, so if you're new Windows or new convert, just make sure you try it. Yep, that worked. So I didn't have to remember it. So there. It's going to automatically try to connect me to my website. CyberDuck's a great program, too, by the way, if you're trying to find an FTP client. But it saves time. It saves time.
Let me ask you. I mean, you seem so in love with this MacBook.
No. I have just as many. I have a lot of complaints.
Okay. Your next laptop, then, would not have to be a Mac.
Because,
The whole once you go Mac, you never go back type thing. Haven't you heard of that?
I would say it depends on the price versus the performance. I would say based on today's prices versus performance, since Mac is competitive with the likes of the business Dells and the IBMs and the other major makers of laptops, I would say I'd probably go with a Mac.
Okay.
However, I don't think I'll be running a Mac as my main desktop PC for a long, long time. So I'm going to keep running both. And I think I would buy Mac probably for the next couple years. It depends what, I mean, Vista is a lot better, so it's probably a little bit more comparable. It just depends on what you're using the Mac for. For what I use it for, with I have a main computer at home that's a Windows machine, I think I'll be sticking with Mac.
Yes.
So.
Okay. So, next up.
What's up next? Yeah, I don't know.
Speakers.
We wanted to mention if you're looking for speakers to hook up your MP3 player to, or maybe even just some not too expensive speakers for your computer, wait. There's a product on the horizon that should be out here very, very soon, the Logitech X240, which I've not been able to find any reviews from legitimate sites yet. Basically, I've just found press junk, or fluff from somebody that's probably never even played with the speakers. We're planning on buying some of these as soon as they come out. We haven't found anywhere that's selling them and shipping them right now. There's like 2-week wait or whatever. It means they're just not out yet.
What's
from what I can tell.
What's the retail price supposed to
50
be?
$50. So we're going to buy them and review them. And the idea is this. They're really cheap speakers from Logitech, the company that I've had pretty good luck with speakers, that has a dock connector for your iPod.
And it comes with a subwoofer?
And it comes with a subwoofer and two speakers.
Uh-huh.
For $50 from a name brand, if they sound okay, I would recommend them to a lot of people for that, when you want to just listen in your room type of thing. So this isn't your main sound setup. But for
The other night I wanted to plug in my iPod at nighttime and listen to it all night, but I realized my battery would go dead and then
Because the iPods nowadays, they only come with those USB connectors.
Right.
There's no wall plug. So you have to go out and buy a wall plug. Well, that wall plug probably is $10, $15 or whatever. Why not just buy speakers that'll charge it for you?
Right.
That was my thought.
Yeah, so I couldn't listen to it all night, but with these speakers, I can.
Yes.
Right.
And that's the idea, is that you don't have to worry about charging it and stuff like that.
Right.
And it'll also work with, supposedly it docks also with and charges iPods and Zunes and something else. Mm-hmm. It will work with any computer or any MP3 player through a normal input.
Right.
So it still has the flexibility of just being computer speakers. But the dock being built in is nice, I think.
Looks
so
nice.
We are going to, I mean, I wouldn't recommend buying it yet. However, based on everything I've seen so far, its specs and what it does, it seems like it's a really good deal. We're going to buy it and check it out and let you know.
When does it launch, though?
It should be out within the next couple weeks, is my understanding. So,
all right. Sounds
good. Or, you know, be able to pick up in a store in the next couple weeks. Mm-hmm. So hold off if you're thinking about buying speakers for, cheap speakers for a computer or for an iPod or a Zune.
Finally, in the education section, we wanted to talk about...
Education? Wow.
I'm sorry. Technology. Technology section, we wanted to talk about another Firefox extension. Just one.
Just one. We're limiting me to one a week
called
now.
Called the IE tab.
Yes. Let me describe what this is. You open up your Firefox window, and you're like, I want to run Windows Update. Or I want to check my webmail at work, which is, you know, Microsoft Outlook based, and it never looks right in Firefox. You know, the same functionality. Well, guess what? Normally, when you would want to do either of those two things, or maybe a website just looks funny in Firefox, you have to go open up Internet Explorer, launch it, and then go ahead and go to the site.
Go to the site now.
Instead of doing that, this is just for Windows because this isn't going to work on Mac. You can get an extension called IE tab where you can just flip the rendering engine. So you can just open a tab that, or change a tab so that instead of it rendering with the Firefox engine, it's going to use Internet Explorer. Okay. And then you can run Windows Update. You can do the webmail and it'll look like it's supposed to look if it's an Outlook-based product. It is running Internet Explorer within a tab. It's going to take up more system memory, obviously, to do this, but it's still better to me, more convenient to me than opening up Internet Explorer.
So I have not actually used this extension.
It's worked perfectly for me, even running Windows Update, which would be the ultimate test.
All right, let's just say I type in this website. I'm like, oh, this looks funny. What exactly do I have to do?
Just right-click on the tab and then put change rendering engine. And it'll flip it over to IE. Yep.
Oh, okay.
That's it.
That's pretty simple.
Yes.
Okay.
Or you can open a new tab that is IE by, like, you know, doing a new tab instead of just new tab, new IE tab or whatever.
Oh, okay. Is that part of that extension?
I believe so, yes.
All right.
That
could be useful.
That is very – I've started to use it. At first I was like, I just opened up Internet Explorer. And then the more and more I thought about it, I'm like, no, this will come in handy, especially for checking my work email.
Right.
So I've started to use it on my Windows machine.
Right.
It won't work on Mac because obviously IE is not on your Mac. So that's it for technology. Let's go ahead and start talking about the education stuff. We actually have a crossover here. This is tech and education.
Right.
The USB Jackbox by Caliphone.
Caliphone is spelled weird. So
yes. Caliphone.
F-O-N-E.
Yeah. And I actually saw this in one of those lame – I shouldn't call them lame. One of those magazines I get for free, it's like called The Journal or something, and it's aimed at IT and educators.
Okay.
And I look through there. Usually I consume one of these in about 2 minutes. it's like junk. And while I was doing this, just to, you know, try to see other – mainly I look at it for products and, you know, trends in education to see where all the tech stuff and where all the IT tech and educators think we should be going or where the money is, because you can kind of tell by some of these articles where the money is. I came across this product, and I was like, wow. I'm like, I'm glad I looked at this magazine, because I don't think you would find this anywhere else.
Right.
Do you want to describe what it is?
Yeah. It has six headphone jacks in one. You plug it into USB.
Not just headphone.
And six microphone inputs.
Okay. So
in the
six
same
headphones, six microphone.
Little device.
Little box.
Teeny little box, looks like, anyway, that you would plug in via USB to one computer. And you can have all six inputs and outputs right there, right?
So you could have six people listening to the same file on one computer.
Right.
Or six people recording, I'm assuming. Now, this is another product we're going to buy and test out. But six people recording to one computer via one USB connection.
What would the quality be of the audio?
I have no idea. That's why I'm going to buy one and find out. So there's two products I'm just going to buy and hope. Because I don't think I'm going to find any reviews on this. The speakers, even if they're not great quality, I won't recommend them, but I'll still use them.
This product is about $65.
Yeah, so it's not a leg and an arm and a leg or anything.
Yeah, I mean, that's kind of a lot of money, but
still not
outrageous.
Not horrible. So.
Right.
I mean, we'll see. We'll find out. Maybe it goes down like on the fourth, fifth, or sixth. But I would think for the audio, audio output, I can't imagine there'd be any problems. Maybe recording would be limited by how much processing power you have on your computer for that many inputs. I really don't know enough about that to speak to that, but I'm going to try it and let people know.
So what are you envisioning as your main use for this product in your classroom?
Okay. In my classroom, well, I wasn't really thinking too much of my classroom yet, but there are definitely ways it could be used in the classroom. I would see it as you could basically have one computer as a listening station. Mm-hmm. So if you had supplemental podcasts or supplemental audio content that you wanted students to listen to, they could go back and listen. You could say like, okay, you need more practice, or you need to advance in this, right, or whatever. Five of you go back there and listen to this. Then
I don't
come
have
on
an
back.
Extra computer in my room.
Okay. Well, I mean,
I love that idea because there's always that four or five kids that get done early. You know?
And you could say, all four of you go back there. There's another assignment for you. Just go ahead and listen. The instructions are there. Because that's the big thing I found with my MP3 players, is that one of the best things it's for is basically delivering instructions where I don't have to keep talking, and they listen, and when it's in their ears, they're very attentive. So that'd be one application of it. I think the big one would be for me is that there's not, if you want to record six people with microphones, you know, hopefully this is decent quality. If you want to record six people with microphones, you have to have a pretty expensive setup. So to be able to do that for $65, I mean, you can do two with a splitter. You might be able to do, you know, three or four with a cheap mixing board that would still be over the cost of this. Right. But if you want to do six inputs, that's wicked expensive.
Right.
And that's also a big product. That's going to be a big, giant mixing board to get six mics in.
This was definitely fitting in the palm of your hand.
Yes.
Type.
So if it works well enough for a podcast, audio, you know, just voice, which is what I believe, you know, you don't need a whole lot of quality for voice. It should be, you're not going to have people singing into it, you know, or playing instruments into it. But I would think it'd be pretty good. And then maybe actually in music, I would think the audio out would be all right. If you had six students you wanted to listen to audio off the computer, that would be a cheap way to have a music class where, okay, go listen to this composer.
Right.
So for music teachers, if the audio quality is good enough on the head, like listening to it in the headphones, there might be applications there as well, as opposed to having the entire class listen to it on the junky speakers. You know, headphones are usually higher quality. And then or as opposed to like some expensive mixer setup.
Right.
So, and then for us, testing it, I can see it as if you had three or four people in one room and you wanted to have a discussion, if the audio quality is good enough, putting a mic right next to three or four people cheaply, I could see a great benefit to that for, you know, recording like a show or even professional development. So
I think you're right.
A round table type thing, you know, instead of having an omnidirectional mic and you get lots of background noise, you use, you know, five halfway decent mics, get them right next to the people's mouths, and should sound pretty good.
Definitely.
All right.
That sounds good.
So we'll check that out. So we've got two products to listen to in future shows, the X240 and the USB Jackbox by Caliphone. That one's already out. Their website has dealers that you can order it from. We're going to try to get one of those in here in the next couple weeks.
Yes. And what was this last thing in education you wanted to talk about?
Oh, we could just, what are your thoughts? Let's not get too into it, but just with Windows Vista having better support for handwriting recognition as a tablet, do you think schools should spend the extra $100, $150 instead of just getting laptops for teachers to go ahead and get tablets from the classroom? The price difference has become smaller and smaller. What are your thoughts on that?
Is this something I could have my students write on and everybody could see?
If you have it hooked up to a projector, you could have a student write on. I'm talking about like just a computer, a convertible tablet computer.
Okay.
So you're going to have a computer. They're going to give you a laptop. Is it worth $100, $150 per teacher to make it a tablet? Would teachers get more use out of it?
Oh, okay. So like they're already going to give me a laptop.
They're already going to give you a laptop. Okay. Shouldn't it be a tablet? That's my question. Or should it be a tablet?
I don't see myself using the tablet function a lot if it were just my personal, you know, work laptop.
Yeah.
But if it was something that was hooked up to a projector, I can see having my students use that function.
Okay.
But I don't see it's worth it. Maybe I
was leaning towards yes, mainly for attendance purposes and basically mobility. Because a lot of times as a teacher, I don't like to sit down. I don't like to sit down. If I could take the attendance, check my email while I'm walking around, Because remember, a tablet, the screen usually flips down so you can hold it like a tablet. Whereas a laptop, you got to kind of, you know, carry it like this.
Yeah, so you're almost holding it like a book that you're holding up. Clipboard or something.
Well, not even a clipboard. The tablet would be like a clipboard.
That's what I'm talking about.
So it'd be easy for me to like check an email and not have to like set the computer down or have to be careful, worry about dropping it. You can kind of cradle it. So I think just for the purpose of holding it and being able to check my email, because, you know, emails come in middle of the block and you need to be aware of what's going on. And for sending attendance, I think just for that alone, I think it's worth the money. Forget the fact that Vista is a huge jump up for tablets from what everybody's saying. So
that you could be more mobile.
Basically, so I could be more mobile.
At those moments when you are usually checking your email or...
Yeah, as opposed to sitting down. And as soon as you sit down, you lose your field of vision in the classroom.
Right.
It's, you know, the students are aware that you're no longer walking around. I would just like to stay mobile in the classroom. And I could do that better with something that I can cradle in my hand. That was my main thinking.
I see your point, but I don't know that it's crucial. And
so maybe it's not worth $150.
Right. It depends on which school you're at. If you're at a school that has money to blow.
The money to blow. I don't think I'd describe it as that. I don't know. All right.
I don't know.
So just food for thought, I guess, more than anything. Right. Obviously, applications where you could, you know, if you had a projector in your room, then I think it becomes vital to have something like that. Because now you don't have to spend the money on, like, you know, laser pointers or... you know, a wireless mouse. Now you can just have the tablet in your hand, use the pen, and do all the stuff while you're presenting to the class.
Right.
So you could walk around the room and be like, okay, let's go check out the website. You type in, do a quick little hand recognition, you pull up some picture, and you can do all of that without having to sit down or use a gyro mouse, which is a little bit more awkward, in my opinion.
Right.
So in that sense, I think if you have a projector, I think it's definitely worth the money.
Okay.
So, in my opinion.
Yeah, I would agree with that.
Because you're a presenter. I mean, that's a good chunk of what you're doing. Yes. And if you can keep standing up and being near your audience, that's the best case, as opposed to having to go back to somewhere where you're anchored.
Mm-hmm.
So.
That's true.
All right. I convince you at all? If there's a projector, is it worth it?
If there's a projector, absolutely.
Okay.
Absolutely.
Okay.
Yeah.
Do we have anything else in education? I think that's about it, right?
I think so.
All right. So stay tuned. We have our Fred Hasse interview, and just a little bit of a lead into that. We have edited this interview, and hopefully it's edited too. We haven't done it yet, actually. I'm lying.
we will edit this interview
to about 5 minutes, we're hoping. And Fred's expertise is actually in the sciences. He knows quite a bit about meteorology and botany
and
physics and things along that line.
Right.
In biology, and we will be doing a show for him in those topics in which he's very passionate and knows a lot about.
Yes, he will be having his own podcast.
Yes.
Yet to be titled.
And the promo we're recording later this week. And as soon as we have that promo, we'll release it to either put it on our show or release it to the Tech Teachers feed so you can get an idea of what his show will be like. But we wanted to have him on our show.
The reason we wanted to have him on our show was really different. Because he has a very different take on technology, in that he is a recent comer to technology in the home.
Yes.
And a little bit older than we are. And so
topics discussed include weeballing. All right. Enough on that. Let's go ahead and let the interview go.
Okay.
So for the first time ever on the Tech Teachers, we're going to have a guest. Joining us now is Fred Hasse, who is currently a part-time forecaster and trainer at Wilkins Weather down in Houston. And I worked with him while I was at that company.
Didn't he serve as somewhat of a mentor for you of sorts?
Yes. I didn't know much about forecasting seas or winds over the Gulf of Mexico, and now I know how to do that pretty well, thanks to him. And because in meteorology school, they don't train you for that in particular, usually, at most meteorology programs in college. So welcome, Fred.
Well, hi.
Fred's also a bowler, right?
Right, kind of debatable at this time.
I guess as a tech show, we should ask him, have you ever tried Wii bowling?
Wii bowling?
Yeah.
I don't know what that even is.
All right. Well, we'll tell you what that is later to ask you about it. I just saw an interesting news story on that today. Before we do that, though, we have some questions for you that we want to share with our audience. Do you want to ask one of the questions here?
Well, sure. I hear that you have recently gotten a computer in the last 5 years. Is it a brand new computer?
And so I'm computer two, I think, actually.
Okay.
But yes.
All right. So you're kind of new to technology?
In the home.
In the home?
Yes.
Okay. So I'm kind of curious how you get your information about technology. How do you find out about new things coming down the pipe? Because Ray says you use Opera, Firefox, and a lot of people don't know about those web browsers, just average users. Well, so I think it's interesting.
In my case, two different sources came to me. One was that I used Google and went into these PC Magazine and PC World and did some reading there. And also, the people where I work use these programs, so I found out about these other sources from there as well.
Excellent.
Yeah.
Those magazines are ones that at some point in time I've subscribed to. I still subscribe to PC Mag, and those are good places. Another place online that's pretty good for reviews and general news is CNET.com. I don't know if you've ever been there, but they have a good bit of info too.
I've been there.
Yes. And Opera and Firefox are both excellent browsers. We've talked about those on the show before.
Right.
So. All right. Do we have another question there?
Oh, sure.
Okay.
I also wanted to know about how do you learn more about technology? Or I'm sorry, what do you want to learn more about regarding technology? Is there anything that you are interested in learning more about?
Well, I kind of put it on the back water, but I plan to go learn a little bit more about Excel. So I can write programs. I've learned to write very simple programs for Excel right now by taking that little course that Microsoft offers. But I need to learn especially about the macros. And that's about it for now.
The what Microsoft course are you referring to? Is something online or?
It's online. You can go into the the office, they have an office, and all you do is to click on the Excel, and it comes up on the upper right part of the screen, and you can get into their course that way.
Oh, that's interesting.
Hmm.
Okay, so to learn more about Excel, there's some built-in help/course there.
Right.
Cool.
Hmm.
All right.
What kind of computer do you have at home?
Well, at this time, I got the an E-Machine T. It's a let me get down here where I can. It's the T3302, which has I think 240 gigs in it.
And you got that within the last couple years, is that right?
That's correct. It's just a little more than 2 years old right now.
But your next computer won't be an E-Machine, correct?
Probably not.
Probably not.
Why is that?
Well, it's I don't think the problem was that it's not so much a problem with the E-Machine as much as it was with the people I bought it from. Their warranties and the knowledge of their tech support was woefully lacking, so I won't buy from them, so therefore I'm not too likely to buy another E-Machine.
Yeah. It's he got it from Best Buy, and as we mentioned on the show before, the support and help at Best Buy can be very much lacking.
I see.
So, but anyway.
Do you think that you're going to want a laptop possibly in the future?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. So you have any ideas what kind of laptop you might want in the future, or have you not researched that yet?
I have not researched that yet. I've been doing other things right at the moment. Besides being involved a little bit into thinking about what to instruct people at work in meteorology, I've also got involved in was given a request by the Houston Cactus and Succulent Society to put together a PowerPoint show or PowerPoint presentation of the ecology of the area around Big Bend. And that's going to be a pretty long project. That'll be lasting until January of 2007.
Wow, that is a long.
I mean, 2008.
Have you used PowerPoint before, Fred?
Yes, I put together a couple of short PowerPoint presentations already.
Mm-hmm.
Just to see if I could do it.
And will you be, with your PowerPoint stuff, I'm assuming you're going to be using pictures that you find and that you take in your slides for the botany stuff?
Oh, sure. I just look around and find something interesting, click and take it.
And what kind of digital camera are you going to be using?
Well, right now I've been using a Canon, I forget the number that's on it, but anyway, it's got 4 million megapixels, but I am actually planning to upgrade it because I found out that for a close-up, it's too grainy.
Yes.
And so I'm going to be buying a better one. My current digital is adequate for taking pictures of stuff that's about, say, 3 feet and further away. But when I'm getting closer, I lose too much detail.
Yeah, you're probably going to want something in the 8 to 10 megapixel range and something that definitely has a macro focus on it. You should listen to our last show, actually, which was all about digital cameras.
Right. So you just bought a microphone, I hear, as well, to use Skype?
Yes.
Right? Did you – what?
And tell the listeners, I know you've told me already, was the install of Skype and the microphone, the whole process to do what we're doing right now where we're talking over the internet. In case the listeners at home didn't know, Fred's not actually in the room with us. He's on Skype, so the audio quality is a little bit different. But just describe the process. Was it hard, easy?
Actually,
what was involved?
It was easy, although there was a little blip because I first went to Target and bought a Memorex speaker, but unfortunately the plug was twice too big to fit into the slot on my computer. So I needed to get an adapter to get the smaller one, but strangely, Target did not have an adapter, so I had to just go ahead and bring it back, get my money, and I went and bought a Philips, which is the one I'm using now, and with the Philips came an adapter, so I could use any size, the two sizes of holes that are on the computers. I mean, I think on the computers, it's usually the smaller hole, and it works just fine. So that was... But otherwise, it was very easy.
Yeah. And Skype, of course, what we're doing right now is free. You can talk online with people. And the quality is decent. The quality for the listeners that are listening, our listeners, you're hearing our higher quality version. But what you're hearing from Fred is actually us just recording the Skype call using a program called Audio Hijack, where we just directly record what he's saying, and then we mixed it. And it sounds pretty good. It sounds pretty good. And at times, it's Fred and I had talked about this before, that this quality we're getting right now is very similar to what you can get with somebody even in other countries.
Yes, this is on a totally different topic. Fred, have you ever used the Wikipedia?
I have.
What do you think about it?
Like mixed. In some areas, it seems to do quite good, or a few topics. Others, not so good. It seems like that some of the information is not necessarily all that accurate. I can kind of summarize that I have found, very interestingly, that their meteorology discussions were, for the large part, pretty good, but their biology is lousy.
Yeah, I can chime in there in that their physics is hit or miss depending on the topic. Their thermodynamics leaves a little bit to desire, but some places, like in just mechanics or the motion equations, it's pretty good. So
I don't see myself going to the Wikipedia for science knowledge.
It's up and down. It depends on the area because it just depends on how many eyeballs are seeing it from that topic and how controversial or whatever the topic is as well to see if it, people change it back and forth. Wikipedia has been taking a lot of knocks in the media lately.
I've noticed that.
Been getting a bad rap lately. I'd still say it's a good start for any topic. Obviously, if you really want to learn in depth about something, you're going to go beyond Wikipedia, hopefully.
Yeah.
But I think it's a decent decent substitute for an encyclopedia. No,
in fact,
it's taking a lot of knocks.
What?
I'm sorry. Go ahead.
I was going to say, and it does, even in spite of the inaccuracies here and there, just like you said, it's a very good start. In fact, you know, whenever I Google up a topic, that's usually the very first thing I'll look up and see what they have to say and then proceed on.
Yes, proceed on. That's the important thing.
And
keep going.
And of course, one of the things I've found out is that the very best articles that you can Google up are usually either something like a master's or a PhD thesis or a book, and they invariably want money for that.
Yes.
Yes.
Eventually, yep, you got it. All right, so that was a little bit on Wikipedia. Okay. Oh, we should tell them about Wii Bowling. Want to tell them about Wii Bowling? Or do you want me to tell them about Wii Bowling? All right. I saw a story today. Now, obviously, Fred actually bowls. So this is no replacement for that, Fred. But there's a video game console that came out recently, and it's the Nintendo Wii, and it has a controller that has basically it's a motion sense controller. So in other words, you move your arm, and this controller can sense that and send it to the video game console. And one of the games they have is called Wii Bowling, and we actually have tried this out at one of the shows we went to. But you basically pull a trigger and you do a bowling motion, and you let go, and you can go ahead and bowl on screen. And there's a story that I saw. I don't know if it was Washington Post. I can't remember what it was, but apparently this is taking off for an age group, an older age group, as opposed to most video games being for young people. Apparently Nintendo Wii has really caught on with older age group, which I thought maybe Fred would have heard of it. But
when you're describing it, I have heard of it.
You've heard of it? It's actually, and from what I've read on the reviews of like people that actually bowl, more so than me, I bowl once like every 6 months or whatever, but from people that actually bowl, they say the physics in it's pretty good. Obviously you don't have the weight of the ball, but you can put spin on it with the way you do the controller, and the pins react in a way that is consistent with the physics of bowling. I haven't tried it enough to be able to confirm that, but it's supposed to be pretty good. So, but anyway.
When you talk about this, I'm a political science major. I was in college. I think of an article called Bowling Alone.
Okay.
And it was basically about people are no longer bowling in regular bowling in physical form, and there's a collapse of the American community, and it's going to lead to, well, then there's no more collective bargaining because people aren't coming together as groups. And it was just an essay published in the mid-90s called Bowling Alone.
And now we have the
Nintendo Wii where you can bowl alone at home.
There you go. Well, the article that I saw showed pictures of like groups of people that, you know, because of physical limitations, because of their age, they were no longer able to go bowl,
right.
You know, so they were, this was their way of still getting up and moving and doing bowling. And then that was in conjunction with a lot of the games, the puzzle-like games that they were playing as well. So these weren't like shoot 'em up first-person shooters. These were all the Nintendo Wii or the puzzle games. That was the Fred Hosse interview. Thanks, Fred. And keep an eye out for his new show coming up soon. And that wraps up this edition of The Tech Teachers. I'm Ray, a physics teacher.
And I'm Holly, a Spanish teacher.
Check out our show notes at thetechteachers.blogspot.com. Please dig our show. And if you haven't dug in 2 weeks, dig one of the episodes.
And also keep the feedback and comments coming to rayandholly@gmail.com. Holly is spelled H-O-L-L-Y-E.
Thank you for listening.
Thank you. Until next time.
Until next time.